We're going to read a few verses as we go along today. No, we'll use it here in a minute. Oh, yes, please. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Lord, we thank you for just everything, your blessings and your salvation and your great love for us, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. We're humbled by the information that you've given men to partake it to us, and that we can use that, Lord. Be with those, Lord, that can't be here. Be with those that need you, Lord, and help us use us in that way. For Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, let me just give you a quick overview of what tonight is going to hold. We will go till just a little bit after 8. This is kind of an introductory night. There are 8 DVDs total, 8 videos total in this entire lesson. But I interject a lot in between the videos, so it's designed to be an 8-week program. It's probably closer to a 12-week program, and we'll just have to see where the Lord leads us. It's very, very important to lay some very good groundwork in where we're going, what we're doing. Because this is a topic that is obviously very important. We get this topic wrong. A lot of things we get wrong. And so I want to kind of tell you what to expect. I'm not at all an expert. I'm just like you. But I did want to give you a little bit of history of kind of where I found myself with the Lord and how I found myself involved in the ministry you see over my shoulder here and why I feel like that we should do this type of class. As a kid, some of you haven't heard my testimony, but as a kid, I did what a lot of kids did. At some point, in a church meeting, I walked an aisle and repeated a prayer the pastor gave me, and pretty much didn't think a whole lot about that. I was young; I was 8, 9, 10 years old, and about a year after that. I remember getting my 1-year straight attendance spin. That was a big deal. But then about a year after that, my parents fell out of church. In that year, my father professed salvation. I professed salvation. But then about a year after that, my family just left church. And so I left church too. I was only 10, and despite what people say in Arkansas, I still couldn't drive. And so I really couldn't take myself. But then again, I really didn't have a desire to go. Sundays were for sleeping in. Sundays were for watching football, and that's pretty much how I grew up. I had a lot of friends at school that went to church weekly. I was just about as good a person as they were, so I didn't think much of it. Figured I was saved, just like they were. In fact, I was even morally better than some of them. And so that's kind of the story of a lot of people. And the reason I mention that's the story of a lot of people that you will encounter when we start doing this. And it wasn't probably until, 17, 18, 19 years old, I started having some thoughts that, man, maybe this salvation thing isn't accurate. I literally had never been in church other than the, maybe Christmas or Easter or chasing a girl around. Maybe I go to church with them. That's pretty much it. But I had a counselor kind of the guy that ran the dorm that was a few years older than me. He was from Texas. I shamefully don't remember his name. And he was a solid Christian. Solid. And he was sort of the first person I saw and went, that guy's different. There's something different about that guy. And, I went to school in Tahlequah, I grew up in Arkansas, and everybody professed Christianity, but this was kind of the first guy I thought, but the way he was living his life, the way he professed, I sort of started having doubts, so to speak. And so anyway, I didn't put a lot of stock into that, but that was probably the first time I started going back to this salvation experience when I was a kid. And I met my wife. I moved here, got a job, met my wife, 21, 22 years old. And she had gone to church her whole life. And so, because I liked her, I was going to church with her. And we got married in the church, started going to the church. And, pretty much it. Didn't know a lot about the Bible. But once again, I was sort of relying on this salvation experience that I had, 18, 19 years earlier. And somewhere we went to that church for, about 10 years, something like that. And so, I, but, you know, probably 3 or 4 years into regular church attendance. It wasn't at that church, but it was at a church I visited in Tennessee. I don't even remember what the pastor said, but he said something that triggered my mind. Something's not right with me. And that was really the first time I pretty much knew, hey, this, I don't care what happened when I was a kid. I come to the conclusion that something's not right. And so I immediately kind of begin a journey on how to correct that. That's why I tell this story, because we're going to be running across people on that journey. We're going to be running across people that have been told a lot of things. There's a lot of crazy stuff out there. We're going to run across people that walked that aisle, said that prayer, but, you know, their life had never changed, as the Bible says it should. They never had that true repentance, as the Bible says that it should. And we're going to be running across those folks. And I'll tell you, from personal story, it's a very confusing time. I spent a couple of years wrangling with that. And finally I decided, well, you know what I got to do? I need to go talk to this pastor at this church here in Sand Springs. And so I figured, man, he's the PhD. He's going to know what to tell me to make this thing right, because I just knew I was really burdened. And the more I study Scripture and the more I study kind of the history of the faith, someone that is burdened and really bothered is actually a pretty good thing. But it didn't feel very good at the time. It was pretty gut-wrenching. So I went to this pastor and I said, hey, I was a little embarrassed anyway, because I've been in that church for many, many years. Everybody knew I thought I was saved. And so I was a little embarrassed about it anyway, but I went to him and said, hey, something's not right. I don't feel right about this. This is during like an altar call. And what he said to me, pretty much, I made a decision not to ever go talk to the guy again. He goes, hey, you just need to come back on like Wednesday, call the secretary, make an appointment with me. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's just not going to happen. Okay, thanks, pal, but no thanks. And so then about another year went by, just because I figured, well, that's not going to help me. What I should have done is open the Bible up, but you know, I kind of didn't do that. And so then I ended up seeing the pastor that married me. We were on a trip in South Carolina, and I figured, hey, this guy's a pretty good guy. I mean, he was really the first pastor I really started going to church to see in. Once I married my wife, he can help me out. And so I basically confided in him. I said, hey, I've been wrangling with this for a number of years. I don't feel right about salvation. I think there's something wrong with me. And he said, well, hey, I can't tell you whether you're saved or not. We can fix that right now. Close your eyes. Repeat this prayer. I went, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. He's a doctor, I think. He's still a pastor at a large Baptist church. So I did that. And you know what? I felt pretty good after that. And about a week went by, and these feelings came right back. And I'm describing this to you not to badmouth any particular people or churches. I'm describing this to you to describe to you what the American church sort of is today, what people will say are Christians sort of have had the experience today. That's a very common experience. Fortunately for me, by God's grace, I realized that was wrong. Nothing from my doing, but God, for some reason, I was able to find out God gave me, opened my eyes, so to speak, to tell me, hey, it's not it. I started searching Scripture after those experiences. I searched Scripture quite a bit. About this time, the internet kind of became popular, or we could afford it, one or the other, I can't remember which. Started, listening to sermons, and discovered a word I'd never heard in all my years of church, which at this time was at least a decade, was the word repentance. And I thought, ooh, this seems kind of important. It's all over the Bible. Started studying it. And essentially what occurred was when I found the real gospel, the gospel that we're going to study these next several weeks, what I was in front of God, because I felt bad, but I still didn't know what my sin was to a holy God. When I found that out, my conviction to the core, over the course of several months, there was a definite time in my life where literally it was supernatural. I was able to repent and believe. I'd always believed. I always said, you got to be kind of an idiot to not believe. You look around here and you see that there's a creator. But repentance is another story. The Bible says demons believe. And they shudder. The demons have a pretty good theology if they're actually scared when they believe. Most of us that we encounter, or me at that time, I believed and I didn't shudder. Okay, I believed and didn't care much about it. But I certainly believe. But belief, it takes more than belief. And there was certainly a godly repentance that came to me. And some of you are sitting there, and maybe you can't define that exact time. We put a lot of stock into that. That's not right. There's nothing in the Bible that says you must recite the exact second I save you. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says your evidence of salvation is, or you continue to repent and believe. And you will endure to the end if you're truly saved. I've been, just like you, I've been around many people that have not endured to the end. And I would tell you that, if I go off the deep end, you need to come after me. I'm a sinful man. And flee and get me. And that's why I love this church so much. But there was a certain time several years ago that I truly was able to repent. And I know it wasn't me, because if it was up to me, I really enjoyed that sin I used to do. And all of a sudden, it was different. And I thank God for that. And that's why it's so important. And I have such a burden for gospel-centered evangelism, Christ-centered evangelism. Because so much in our day is not Christ-centered, it's man-centered. And that goes against what the Bible says. And what do I mean by man-centered? Well, you hear things like, well, hey, you just need to receive Jesus. What's the key word in that that's wrong? You. Okay? You have nothing to do with it. Or you hear things like, just do this or just do that. You know, Ephesians 1 clearly says there's no works involved. John 3:3 is great. You read the entire account of first John there. In John 1, the third chapter, it talks about it's a supernatural event. God is saved. If you go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, someone can read that for me. Second Corinthians 5:17.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Right. And of course it tells us that anyone that is a Christian is not going to be the same ever. Psalm 3:8 says salvation belongs to the Lord. The Bible has a phrase that describes non-Christians. It calls it the natural man. That's in 1 Corinthians 2:14. Paul says this, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. See, those not in Christ can't understand. They can't just accept Jesus. They can't just do this. They can't just do that. Should we plead with them to repent and believe? Of course. That is what the gospel is the pleading of what they are in front of God, and that they must repent, turn from their sins, and flee to Christ, and fall in the mercy of Jesus. Now, what you're going to find when we talk about this, and some of you are sitting here, and maybe you're a little nervous about this evangelism thing. We'll get to that in a minute. I want to say a few more verses to you. You know, our human condition is almost described as like a drop of poison. You drop a poison into a glass of water, and the whole glass of water is tainted. Not as tainted as it could be, but it's tainted. And that's what our sin condition is. We're not as bad as we could be. Some are worse than others, but we are all bad. The Bible says no one is good, not even one. Paul refers back to the Old Testament when he says that. None of us are good. We're only good in Christ. And in the American church especially, we have sort of got a morality, a legalistic, a goodness type of thing going on. And it's personal to me. And that's one I haven't told my testimony very often, but it's personal to me. And that's why I said that. Because I was in a church, and no one told me the gospel. And I was going to hell. And we've got to love people enough to tell them the truth, whether that makes us uncomfortable or not. It's not always comfortable to tell people what their condition is in front of a holy God. But man, how beautiful is the message on how that doesn't have to be. And that's what we're going to learn to do. And so how I became involved in this ministry was one of the folks that I encountered on the internet when I was just, you know, gut-wrenched and seeking for the truth and for what the truth was and how I can be saved was a guy by the name of Tony Miano. He was a Los Angeles County deputy. He had just left full time, became a reserve officer. Of course, I was in law enforcement, and he was in law enforcement, and so we had that bond. And he had a ministry to law enforcement, and so we immediately just kind of struck up a conversation. He came here to Tulsa and did a little mission trip, and I set some stuff up for him, and just kind of had that friendship. And, you know, Tony was sort of like, you know, I was like basically his Timothy. He really mentored me as a young Christian and still really does to this day. Well, Tony went to work for Living Waters, which is the ministry that puts this curriculum on. And he became friends with Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort. You're going to hear from these two guys in a minute. And that was really how I became involved in it. Tony started directing what's called the Ambassadors Academy, which is kind of a 3 or 4 day evangelism boot camp they would have in California. You would fly out there, they teach you a day in the classroom, and then they go out to the beach one day and witness and preach, and they go out to Hollywood one day, and it really attracted a lot of people from across the world that came. And Tracy and I went to the second academy. She preached on Hollywood Boulevard, believe it or not. I have pictures to prove it. And we really struck up a friendship with Ray and all the people at the ministry. And even to this day, we talk to them a lot. Whenever we're in Southern California, we go by the ministry and talk to them. And that's kind of how that happened. And Tony asked me to come back to be a leader, so to speak, in these groups, in these evangelism groups. So I would go out. You know, we would have the classroom, and then I'd be assigned 8 people to kind of mentor them and to watch them witness and to help them out. And went out there several times and did that. And that's really how my involvement came, just through a friendship. And Tony is no longer with the ministry. They had to cut back here in the last year or so, like a lot of ministries had. He's now just sort of a on his own. He's a open air preacher. He's kind of an itinerant preacher at different churches and things like that. But that's kind of how the relationship started with this ministry. And so it was just natural for me, after all this occurred, to teach this class. And at a former church, a big church, I was surprised when they said, yeah, you can teach the class. They actually assigned it to their curriculum director. I mean, they had directors for everything at the time. And he looked at it, and he goes, well, it's completely biblical. And I didn't really think he'd say anything else. He said, so I don't know why you can't teach it. And so I did. And this is a big church, and I think we had 6 people show up for class. Praise God for 6 people. We graduated 3. And in a big church. And so it's not a real popular topic. So I'm really, really, we're really fortunate to have so many people that want to be involved here. But I want to warn you what's going to occur over the next several weeks. Here's what's going to happen. Because I saw it. Tony told me this when I started going out to California to help them, to be involved in what they were doing. He told me the spiritual warfare would occur. He told me things would happen. And it's true. I honestly kind of thought, oh, come on. Why is there going to be spiritual warfare without me flying to Los Angeles and getting to hang out at the beach and witness to people? Because Satan don't want you witnessing to people, especially when it's the truth. If I was sitting here telling you a bunch of mumbo-jumbo, trust me, there'd be no spiritual warfare. He would love for us to be in part in that. But we're going to be as biblical as we can be. And Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is the power of salvation. And when you give someone the gospel, the biblical gospel, people will get saved. They just will. You know, how many that is or when that is not for us to know, but the Bible says it's true. And so you're going to encounter that spiritual warfare. I'm going to encounter that spiritual warfare. It happened today. You know, I set aside time today to work on this. I paid $40 to get the kit and the books for all y'all to be here on time. It didn't show up, you know, and then work got silly and things got sidetracked and I got home, and the kids were doing this or that, and there was all this drama going on. And I thought to myself, yeah, must be evangelism 101 class day, because it's happening. And it's going to happen to you as well. And so that's why we all need to be in prayer very, very hard about this. Because it's important. You may not make every single class, but hopefully we'll be able to record it so you can make it up. Don't let missing one class turn into 2, 3, 4. That's exactly what the enemy wants to happen. You're here for a reason. This is important. Statistics tell me that 40% of you won't graduate with us. I don't care about statistics. I care about the Holy Spirit, and there's a reason you're here. You know, bring more people next time. This can easily be made up, what we're doing tonight. So that's kind of what I want you to be on guard for. Be on and pray for me as well. And so that's kind of it. What I'd like to do is show the video, and I've kind of rambled a little bit, But the video is really essential for the first couple of weeks to watch. This is a video that comes in the kit. The kit comes in a nice DVD, and it's really good quality. You'll be able to tell that this isn't as good a quality as I would like because I had to kind of burn it off the internet today because the kit didn't come in. I was doing it here just a while ago. And so near the end, it kind of is like you're watching a foreign film. Their lips are moving, but the sound's off. Just don't worry about it. The message is the same. But it's a very important message, so we'll go ahead and play that. Can you play that, Joe?